Welcome all of our listeners to the Sunday morning worship service here at Ritter Farms in East Tennessee. Those of you who are listening on the internet can listen from 4 to 5 a.m., 10 to 11 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., and 8 to 9 p.m., and all of those times are Eastern time here in the United States. If you miss a program on Sunday, there are several listening options. You can go to www.ritterfarms.com, and on the Sunday morning worship page, you can find the entire service listed by date. And if you want to just listen to the sermon again, or if you missed the sermon and want to listen to it, go to www.godsgracealone.org and go to the sermons page. Our first song for the show today will be a third time out song called I Want to Stroll Over Heaven With You. And I want to send this song out to some very special friends from North Carolina, Kevin and Teresa Green.
If I surveyed all the good things that come to me from above, if I could count all the blessings from the storehouse of love, I'd simply ask for the favor of Him beyond mortal ends, and I'm sure I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day, where all the troubles and heartaches are vanished away. Then we'll enjoy the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll some glad day.
song by J.D. Crowe in the New South, Let the Spirit Descend.
When John came preaching, preparing the way for Jesus the Heavenly King, for all who believe and trust on His name will stand in God's kingdom and not be ashamed. Let the Spirit descend like a beautiful dove, as they did on Jesus that day. He was baptized by John in the river of Jordan. God's voice like thunder said, "This is my son." Sent for Jesus to come, cried Lazarus, come forth. They saw as He said, Lazarus in grave clothes, arise from the dead. Let the Spirit descend like a beauty. Jesus hung on the cross, His tears fell like rain. The multitude mocked Him to shame. Forgive them, Father, what they've done to me. He died on the cross of cruel Calvary. Like a beautiful dove, as they did on Jesus that day. He was baptized by John in the river of Jordan. God's voice like thunder said, "This is my son."
Song is The Rivers of Babylon, and it's done by the Virginia Cut-Ups.
Ooh, by the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. For they that carried us away required of us a song. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? For they that try us require of us birth, saying, sing for us a song. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, Lord. While sadly we gazed on the river, which rode on in freedom below, they demanded the song, but never that triumph shall they know. By the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. For they that carried us away in captivity required of us a song. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? For they that try us require of us mirth, saying, sing for us a song. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. By the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion.
Mullins and the Radio Ramblers do a great job on this next song. It's Rock of Ages, Keep My Soul.
Oh, Rock of Ages,
oh, Rock of Ages,
cleft for me,
just cleft for me.
Let me hide myself in thee.
Hide myself in thee.
When the waves of doubt
roll around me, Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages.
Keep my soul.
Oh, keep my soul. Oh, blessed rock.
Jesus, blessed rock.
To thee I cling.
Unto thee I cling.
Let mad waves toss.
Let the mad waves toss.
My soul can
still
sing.
Still my soul can sing. When storms of doubt.
When the storms of doubt.
Against me roll.
Roll against me roll. Rock of ages.
Rock of ages.
Keep my soul.
Oh, keep my soul.
The sea is rough.
The sea is rough.
That I must sail.
That I must sail.
And you know.
And you know.
My bark is frail.
How my bark is frail.
I ask thee, Lord. To take control.
Lord, please take control. Rock of ages.
Rock of ages.
Keep my soul.
Oh, keep my soul. Oh, blessed rock.
Jesus, blessed rock.
To thee I cling.
Unto thee I cling.
Let mad waves toss.
Let the mad waves toss.
My soul can
still
sing.
Still my soul can sing. When storms of doubt.
When the storms of doubt.
Against me roll.
Roll against me roll. Rock of ages.
Rock of ages.
Keep my soul.
Oh, keep my soul.
Lord, fill my heart.
Lord, fill my heart
with love divine.
With love divine.
Help me trust.
Help me trust
in storm or shine.
Trust in storm or shine.
And when I reach,
when I finally reach
the Jordan cold,
banks of Jordan cold, rock of ages,
rock of ages,
keep my soul.
Oh, keep my soul. Oh, blessed rock.
Jesus, blessed rock.
To thee I cling.
Unto thee I cling.
Let mad waves toss.
Let the mad waves toss.
My soul can
still
sing.
Still my soul can sing. When storms of doubt.
When the storms of doubt.
Against me roll.
Roll against me roll.
Rock of ages.
I hope hope you're enjoying the songs that we picked out for you today. And always remember that you can have input in the Sunday morning playlist if you just email your song to radioshow@ritterfarms.com and do that during the week, Monday through Thursday. And I usually record the radio show on Friday or Saturday, so you can send me a song that you would like to hear played on the Sunday morning radio show, and we'll get your song in. And now I'm going to play a song by the Marksmen, and I guess this is probably my favorite version of this song. It's an old song called Take My Hand, Precious Lord.
My way groweth drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand lest I fall. Precious Lord, lead me home. Precious,
precious Lord,
take my hand,
lead me on,
let me stand.
Wonderful than the peace that passes all understanding that God puts in your heart when you know you belong to Him. And here's Marty Rabin singing about that peace. The song is called Peace, His Wonderful Peace.
Far away in the depth of my spirit tonight is a melody sweeter than songs. In celestial light strains it unceasingly forms. Oh, my soul like an infinite calm. Peace, peace,
this wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in the fathomless billows of love. Oh, friend, are you here without comfort and rest, marching down the swift pathway of time? Oh, make Jesus your friend and the shadows grow dark. Oh, feel His sweet love so sublime. Peace, peace, His wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in the fathomless billows of love. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in the fathomless billows of love.
Here's a song by one of our local groups, Masterpiece, and the song is He Is Mine and I Am His.
God's amazing grace sent down from heaven, rescue me from sin and from shame. Open up my eyes and brought salvation. Now I'm His, praise His holy name. Oh, now I know that He is mine, and I am his
forever.
He is leading me along life's way. He'll be holding to my hand when I cross this river. He will take the sting of death away. So sweet to know I have Jesus with me. He will keep me from sin and from strife. He delivered me from condemnation. Now I have eternal life. Leading me along life's way. He'll be holding to my hand when I cross this river. He will take the sting of death away. He will take the sting of death away.
Been times in all of our lives when we've had to walk through the valley. That's where God walks with us and strengthens us and builds character. And here's Nick Chandler in Delivered singing a wonderful song. It's called This Valley Is For Me.
Mm-hmm.
this mountainside, I can see where this road goes. The shepherd is leading me to a place where I can grow. Though it seems to be a trying test, I have no doubt he knows what's best. Might be a place of perfect rest. This valley is for me. This valley is for me. The waters have been made so sweet, a rest for my weary feet. This valley is for me. A far cry from the mountain scene. The grass here has been made so green. Shepherd chose this route, so I can say without a doubt, this valley is for me. Still water, I know why I am here today. This place of restoration will strengthen me along the way. Through the valley I can here is so, so real. I know it was his perfect will. This valley is for me. This valley is for me. The waters have been made so sweet. For my weary feet, this valley is for me. A far cry from the mountain scene. The grass here has been made so green. My shepherd chose this route, so I can say without a doubt, this valley is for me. My shepherd chose this route, so I can say without a doubt, this valley is for me.
Next song is by the Primitive Quartet. It's My Hope is in the Blood. And after this song, Jack will be here with the message.
Every hope that I have here in sinful world is anchored in the blood of the Lamb. Though the billows are raging and we're tossed to and fro, there is peace beneath that flow.
wash away my sin, gave me peace and joy within.
My home is anchored in
His blood, His precious blood.
Only one thing will matter when the time shall come to die. The treasures of this world won't mean a thing,
but the joy of knowing Jesus will banish all my fears.
For He took away death's sting.
My hope
is in the blood of the precious Lamb of God.
There is no other fountain
so sweet.
It has washed away my sin,
gave me peace and joy within.
My hope
is anchored in
His blood, His precious blood.
My hope
is anchored in
His blood.
This is Jack. It's good to be with you today. And certainly desire your prayers today as we endeavor to speak to you from God's holy word. Our scripture today coming from the book of John, the 8th chapter and the 47th verse. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Now in John, the 10th chapter, just two chapters over, the 26th through the 28th verse. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now I want to talk to you today about the God who spoke the world into existence. Have you ever thought about the order of the universe? The sun rose this morning, and no doubt it'll rise again tomorrow. Do you ever wonder how the moon affects the tides and seasons come and go each year? It takes rain and sunlight to make seeds grow. Each plant bears seeds to reproduce itself, and a seed must die to grow into a new plant. There are millions of species of animals and insects, bugs and such, whose bodies work with precision to reproduce their species. Within each plant and animal species, and that also includes man, is a natural compulsion to reproduce its own kind. God intended for His creation to reproduce. It is the logical perpetuation of every creature that keeps the natural balance that God intended. That is why God is God. And that is, without any doubt, why He did not give man any control over nature. God is all-wise and all-powerful. He is everywhere and knows everything. Man, on the other hand, thinks he knows everything, but knows nothing. Environmental groups have become obsessed with playing God by trying to save endangered species, while companies like Monsanto create genetically modified corn seed and other vegetable seeds that contain an insecticide in its DNA that will kill insects that infest it. Now, to man, that sounds brilliant. But why haven't they figured out, and it's puzzled me, why haven't they figured out that when this seed grows into a corn stalk, it will also kill bees that pollinate it? What happens when all these corn and other vegetable crops, whose genetic makeup includes this biotechnology that kills insects also kills all the bees that pollinate our crops. What will happen, and you know, what will happen to our food supply when there are no more bees? And what's this doing to humans? Man thinks he is so smart that he can genetically alter what God has created and not have any adverse effects. Isn't it a contradiction for man to advocate saving animal species to the point of extremism, like cutting off the water supply to the nation's largest food-producing region to save a minnow from extinction? Then, on the other hand, cause the extinction of bees, which pollinate plants, which produce our food, and no one is doing anything about it. But yet God created a perfect universe. It began with God, speaking it into existence, and it will end when God has purposed for it to end, and not because of man-made global warming or anything else. How can man, who thinks he is so smart, create such a mess in the physical world he lives in and still contend that he is the one who controls what is in the spiritual world? 90% of the people on this planet will tell you that God can have no effect on man's eternal destination. They contend that God is willing to save everyone eternally, but he can do nothing without man's permission. Now listen to me. A God who is willing but not able to do his own will, to do what he has purposed to do, is no God at all. That's why I'm asking you today, is your God the one true God? The God who spoke the universe into existence. Now you listen to me. Who does what he wills in the armies of heaven and amongst the inhabitants of the earth? And none can stay his hand, is what the scriptures say. If your God is the one true God, then no one can keep him from doing his own will. No one can keep him from doing what he has purposed to do. If God can speak a universe into existence, but can't save those he purposed to save, what kind of God is he? This man has to give God permission to save him doctrine is a man-made doctrine that is not found anywhere in the Bible. It is not a true doctrine. It is not God's doctrine. So if you've made a decision to jump on, now listen to me, if you've made a decision to jump on God's railway to heaven and punched your own ticket, then you might as well jump off right now, because it is not God's train and it is not going to heaven. God made man and gave him dominance over the animals. God gave man a brain capable of higher thought. But God did not give man dominance over God that he can tell God whether or not he can save man eternally. Man's God-given higher thinking skills enable him to know things about the physical world. He can walk outside, fill a drop of water on his head, and come to the conclusion that it's raining. But man's human reasoning is not foolproof. He could be wrong. The water he fell on the top of his head could have come from a bucket of water that was being emptied out from a third floor window of a building he just walked out of. Man's reasoning is often wrong, and his intellectual ability often leads him to the wrong conclusion. But God is never wrong. He never comes to a wrong conclusion. Jesus said in John 6:44, No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Now, if God draws man and man stands and holds on to the pew until his knuckles turn white and refuses to yield to salvation, does that mean that God came to the wrong conclusion? Does God say, my mistake, I should have known you would refuse me. I should have known that you weren't ready to accept my offer of salvation. But this is the thinking of the religious world today. God calls and man refuses because man has free will and he can refuse God or accept God. It's man's decision. That's not only illogical thinking, it's false doctrine. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 9, now listen to this. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 9, 19 and 20, thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Man cannot resist God's will. When God calls someone, it is never the wrong person. And the answer is never no, or I'm not ready yet. God call me later is what they say. It's like the Apostle Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul is a good example. If you want to look at someone that was regenerated by God, look at the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road. He said, Lord, what would you have me to do? That is the same way it is with everyone. If you believe in man's free will and salvation, then you are using human reasoning to come to a conclusion that benefits you. It's your call, not God's. But if you believe in salvation by sovereign grace, then it is by revelation. Speaking about sovereign grace in Ephesians 1, 6 through 7, Paul says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Paul says, it is to the praise of the glory of God's grace that we are made accepted by Christ. He does not say salvation is to the praise of the glory of man's decision to let God save him. Let's look for just a minute at some scripture in the Old Testament. Now, this is in the book of Isaiah. I believe they're about the last book in Isaiah, the 66th chapter, and in the 9th verse. And you get a chance, you look at it. And God asked, shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb? When God brings his children to the birth, he does not shut the womb. He does not leave them in the birth canal. He says, shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth? When God calls his children, they are born alive. They do not refuse to be born. They are not stillborn or aborted. They are born alive. The one God calls out in the new birth will be born alive. There is a lot of information in the world today. Man believes a lot without checking it out. There's too much information, and it would take a lifetime for him to verify all of it if he could. So what does man do? He believes what he wants to believe because it benefits him or because it falls in line with his way of thinking. And this is how man treats the Bible. He doesn't have time to read it, so he listens to preachers and he believes what he wants to believe because it benefits him or because it falls in line with his way of thinking. Too many times man says, I believe this or I believe that, without being able to verify what he thinks according to what the scriptures say. Sometimes he gives a misquoted or out of context scripture that he's heard somewhere to validate his claims. Man's God-given ability for higher thinking allows him to know about God, but it does not allow him to know God. How is anyone able to know God? The Bible says it is by revelation. What man can know by reasoning is that there is a God. Even those who are wicked, unregenerate people, can know there is a God. Paul explains in Romans 1, 18 and 20, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Anyone can know there is a God by the creation. He spoke it into existence. No one has any excuse for not knowing there is a God. But those who know God personally can only know him by revelation. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Anything outside of the existence of God, man cannot know without the Spirit of God dwelling within him. Jesus said in Matthew 11 and 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, And no man knoweth the Father, or knoweth the Son, but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. No one can know God unless it is by divine revelation. A natural man cannot logically reason anything about God. God must be supernaturally revealed to man. In John 4, Jesus is talking to a Samaritan. Now listen to this. In John 4, Jesus here is talking to a Samaritan woman at the well. He's just told her that God is a spirit, and he must be worshiping in spirit and truth. She replies in verse 25, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. At that point in time, Jesus says to her, I that speak to thee am he. This woman had had five husbands and was living with a man to whom she was not married. She saw Jesus as a Jew and wondered why he was asking water of a Samaritan woman. But she would have never been able to logically reason that he was the Christ. He had to first reveal himself to her before she could run through the streets crying, come see a man who has told me everything I have ever done. Is not this the Christ? Many of the Samaritans who came believed, but not all of them. Not all of them. Why didn't they? It can only be because all did not receive divine revelation that Jesus was indeed the Christ. In Matthew 16, Jesus asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now listen to this scripture, very important scripture. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They told him, John the Baptist, Elias, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Then he asked, but whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. If man knows God, it is by divine revelation, brothers and sisters. That's the way that the Apostle Peter knew him, and that's the way we will know him. That's the way any person will know him, is by divine revelation. As Jesus hung on the cross, in Luke 23, there were two thieves, one on each side of him. One of the thieves said, if you're really the Christ, save yourself and us. This is pure human logic and reasoning. Human reasoning always benefits man. The thief said, prove you're the Christ. If you are really the Christ, you can prove it by saving yourself. And while you're at it, you might as well save us too. In a tight situation, human reasoning will lead man in the direction that will benefit him. But the other thief said, this is what he said, don't you fear God? You and I deserve what we're getting, but this man has done nothing amiss. The second thief believed Jesus was the Christ, and he could have only done so by revelation. Now, listen, you think about it. There Jesus was, hanging on the cross in human flesh. None of the supernatural signs had taken place yet. It had not become dark in the middle of the day. The graves had not opened and given up their dead. The earth had not shook. But this thief went from mocking our Lord and Savior to believing. All this thief saw, all he saw on the cross that day was Christ in his weakness as a dying man on a cross. But God revealed to him that he was the Christ, the Messiah. After the resurrection, Jesus only appeared to those who were true believers. Many didn't recognize him at first, but when he spoke to them, they recognized him as their Lord. On the Damascus Road, Jesus revealed himself to Saul of Tarsus, who persecuted Christians. The Apostle Paul later said in Galatians 1:11-12, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For preaching this gospel, Paul was persecuted. He was beaten and thrown into prison, but he never betrayed his beloved Christ nor his beloved gospel. Human reasoning would have said, do whatever it takes to escape this persecution. Tell them what they want to hear. Stop preaching. Do what they say, and you won't have to suffer. But Paul had not been convinced by man to preach this gospel. It had been a revelation from God, and Paul could not give it up any more than he could give up breathing. Those who claim that God loves everybody and wants everybody to be saved haven't studied a lot of the things that Jesus said to the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day. The Pharisees were self-proclaimed children of God. They assumed that they had a ticket to heaven because they were children of Abraham. Now listen to the Pharisees' conversation with Jesus in John 8:37-47. Jesus said, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God, heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. These Pharisees were Israelites. So why were they not of God? Because God did not choose them before the foundation of the world. Paul says in Romans 9:6, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. National Israel is a type and shadow of spiritual Israel, which is the church. Paul is saying that not all of the Jews are of spiritual Israel. God's elect are spiritual Israel, and according to Jesus, these Pharisees were not included in that number. He told them they were of their father the devil, and they were not of God. How much plainer can you get? These Pharisees were not included in those God intended to save. Now look at John 10. Jesus is talking about his sheep. Again, he is talking to some of the Pharisees. He had just told them that he was the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And if he lays it down, he is able to raise it up again. Beginning in verse 20, here's the reaction of the Pharisees. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. As I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Jesus told these Pharisees, ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. They didn't belong to him, and never would. They were not his sheep. They were not of God. Those who are blessed to see and understand the doctrine of sovereign grace are those for whom the Holy Spirit has performed a miracle. I'm not asking that you believe what I'm saying. I'm asking that you study the scriptures and let the Holy Spirit guide you in understanding the truth. Likewise, you should not believe what some other man has told you. Rather, believe what the scriptures say, because they do say, let God be true and every man a liar. Only those who have been blessed to see sovereign grace by the one true living God can understand the Bible and the scriptures I'm giving you today. If you are a child of God, call upon his name that he would bless you to see these truths that are proclaimed by God and not doctrines that are set forth by man. There is peace. There is a peace that passes all understanding. When one is blessed to see the true doctrine of God's sovereign grace, when you are blessed to see it, you will realize that it was God and God alone who intervened in your life and gave you knowledge that you could not comprehend on your own. This is exactly what happened to one of the greatest preachers of sovereign grace, and that was Charles Spurgeon. Here's what he wrote when he realized the truth. One day the thought struck me, he said, "How was it you came to seek God?" And in an instant, the answer came from my soul. Why? Because he led me to do it. He must first have shown me my need of him, or else I should never have sought him. He must have shown me his preciousness, or I never should have thought him worth seeking. And at once I saw the doctrines of grace as clear as possible. God must begin. You see, Spurgeon was a Christian all along. He just hadn't been blessed to see God's sovereign grace. Once he saw it, there was a comfort that passes all understanding. That's what the scripture says. That's the way many of God's children are today. Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:8, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." We don't know how the Holy Spirit enters into our hearts. It's like the wind. We don't know where it comes from or where it goeth, but we can feel it. The greatest blessing for any child of God is to know that God looked favorably on you, not that you look favorably on God. You see, you have nothing for God to look favorably upon you. Mankind is wicked from the beginning, so there is no reason for God to look favorably upon you. Paul says in Romans, "They that are in the flesh cannot please God." God can't look favorably toward mankind. He looks favorably toward his son. God sees his children through the shed blood of his son. God's children are clothed in Christ's righteousness. God is not going to look favorably to those who were not given to the son in the everlasting covenant of grace made between the father and the son before the foundation of the world. These truths are precious to the child of God who understands them and loves them. They are nourishment. Food from God's table. But instead of feeding God's sheep, in most churches today, preachers are entertaining the goats. It's time for God's people to find a place where the truth is preached and escape false doctrine and the trappings of the world in the church. God told Jeremiah, "Seek ye out the old paths and walk therein." Paul told Timothy, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." How plainer could it get? Every child of God has the Holy Spirit and the ability to discern the truth. I exhort you today to find a place where the truth is preached and don't settle for anything less than the truth. Without the truth, there is no true worship.